there's two ways to focus on a parasha like Parashas Mishpatim. One is to try to find the theme of the parasha, which is when you're doing parashas Vayetze or Vayishlach, is the only way to do it, is to find like what the different stories are trying to teach you. But once you start Parashas Mishpatim, once you start these parashas Mishpatim, Truma, Vayikra, Tzav, Emor, these type of parashas, so there's the general scheme of the parasha. And then there's individual halachas, that is what to learn from individual halachas in the parasha. Many times, always really, except many times we're able to see it, the different laws that are described in the parashas, even though they seem like halachas in Chesh Mishpat or something, they have underlying lessons in midas and in personal growth and dveikus b'Hashem and so on. So this year we're going to do one halacha. And the halacha we're going to do is a pasuk, Perek of Gimel, pasuk Zayin. The pasuk says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Midvar Sheker means from something that's false, from words of falsehood, Tirchak, you should keep away. And it's a unique mitzvah. Even the simple reading of the Chumash, it's a unique mitzvah. Because everything in the Torah says it's either aser or it's mutter. Right, the Torah says, put on tzitzis. The Torah says, don't be avid avay dezar. The Torah says, you know, l'chahina rabbis, every single iser, the Torah says, you know, hishamer l'cha, pen yifta l'vavchem. It says what to do and what not to do. It doesn't say, keep away from this. That lashon of midvar sheker tirchak sounds more like something that the Rabbanan would have said. It sounds like something that, it would be a halacha in the Torah, don't lie. And the Rabbanan would have made a takana. Not only you shouldn't lie, but you should keep away from falsehood. Midvar sheker tirchak, keep away from falsehood. The lashon of the Sefarno, mikol davar sheyucha l'savev sheker, from anything that falsehood could come out from, even giving the impression of something that's not right, or saying something that someone else would think that what you're saying is not accurate, you should keep away from. It's unique that the Torah itself would say the harchaka. Usually the Torah says the law, and the Rabbi Seinu, the Chazal, the Chol Dar Vadar would come in and they would say, you know, keep away from it, don't even do this, and even, you know, all the things that distance us from Averis, but that we have a pasuk that tells us keep away from falsehood, instead of just don't lie, that shows us something special over here. That's what we want to examine. Mesillas Yesharim says, I'll read the words, V'tira, and see, Shalei omar mi sheker tishamer. It doesn't say, watch yourself from lying. Ela midvar sheker tirchak, from words of falsehood you should keep away. L'ha'ir oisanu, to awaken us, al ha'herchek ha'gadol, on the tremendous distance, v'habricha ha'raba, and the great running away, fleeing, shetzarech levroyach mizeh, you have to run away from falsehood. And there's a very, very interesting thing over here about sheker, and I think it's something to be oimed on. I know that as I was growing up, if someone would start giving a shiur about sheker, I would turn off. I would shut down, I wouldn't be listening anymore. And, oh, sheker? Okay, fine. So, and I think the reason is because we have in our minds a certain value of truth and falsehood. And maybe the value of the world is the society around us. And the society around us also values truth. If you're in the business world or in government and so on, people pride themselves that they're truthful. People who lie are, people keep away from them. Everybody knows, keep away from that guy, he doesn't tell the truth, he's not straight. You know, truth is a valued midah in the entire world. But there's something different. It took me a while to put my finger on it, but there's something different about the value of truth in the world and the value of truth in the Chumash. And that is that in the world, lying for no reason is not considered a bad thing. Making up a story that's not going to hurt or damage anyone, okay, maybe it's not a smart thing to do, but it's not considered one of the terrible things going on. It's not a terrible thing. You know, so you embellished the story a little bit. You made it sound good. So what? So you said that you made yourself look like you're a little better than you are. So what? That's not considered a terrible midah. As a matter of fact, it's considered part of life. It's understood. We forgive politicians for lying. We forgive them. It's part of being a politician. We forgive businessmen for projecting their goods as being better than they are. That's being a salesman. That's part of being a good salesman. We train people to do that. That's part of the training. To make it look as good as, you know, to make the fine print as fine as possible. But of course, course, if someone cheats me, someone lies to me, we look down on that. But when you look in the Shari Tshuva, in the Shari Gimel, or in the Mesilas Yesharim, in the Pratei HaMikiyos, you'll see that they talk about different levels, and the first level of each of them, the Shari Tshuva has 9 levels of Sheker, and the Mesilas Yesharim has 3 levels of Sheker. In the Shari Tshuva, the 9 levels of Sheker, the first one, and the second one, and the third one, that we're familiar with. If you cheat, if you lie, and you hurt somebody, if you make up stories about someone that's not true, if you slander, those things we're familiar with. And even at the world at large, we would look down at that. Mesilas Yesharim also, his first level, someone who's like shakua in lying and his whole life is a lie, yeah, we look down on that. It's a pathological liar, we look down at that. But the lower level of the Mesilas Yesharim, the lower level of the Shari Tshuva, is if someone just lies, just because it's a lie. Just a lie. For no reason. And I don't think that we have ingrained in us this, like, salida, this, like, being repelled, revolted from a lie. I think we're very understanding of that type of lie, white lie. You know, and it's dafka on that that Mr. Sharm says this line. It's on the lowest madrega of lying that he says about the bricha rabba, the tremendous running away, that you have to run away from any sense of falsehood. You know, I feel it in myself. You don't feel, I can imagine cynically responding to myself right now, like, there are bigger problems in the world. The bigger problems. There's a lot worse stuff going on in the world. Don't start getting hung up about someone tells a little lie. It's not like, yeah, it's anything. You want to talk in the Parshas Mishpatim, there are bigger things to talk about. There are bigger problems in the world. But Haleidavru, it's something to think about that this forum, if you open up this forum, there seems to be a tremendous value of telling the truth, even if there was nothing there that would have happened from telling a lie. Just from telling the truth. Something so valuable about it. And that's why I think, I'm sure there's many ways and many levels of understanding. I want to pick one way of understanding and to discuss one way of describing the value of truth just for the sake of truth itself. Why that's valuable. I'm going to mention a few things that Chazal and Psukim say about truth or falsehood just as a hakdama, just as an introduction. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that Chaysamay Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of Hashem is truth. Hashem's seal is truth. We've heard this, we've all heard this before. But did we ever stop to think, like, why is Hashem's seal truth? Why wasn't Hashem's seal shalom? Or why isn't Hashem's seal goodness? Or why isn't Hashem's seal bracha? What does it mean that Hashem's, what does it mean? What's the seal of Hashem? What does it mean that Hashem's seal is truth? You find this Indian of Hashem's seal, that Emes is like the seal of Hashem and the Bria. The Sefer Chassidim says, I think others, I think it's a Chazal even, that the words Bereishis Bara Elokim, the last letter of each word, is the Oisius of Emes, Aleph Mem Sof, Tav Aleph Mem, but it's the words Emes. Bereishis Bara Elokim starts the Torah. The last letters of the words Bara Elokim Es, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es, Hashemayim V'Yisrael, spell Emes straight. Bara is Aleph, Elokim is Mem, and Es is Sof, spell Emes straight. So you have Bereishis Bara Elokim Es, Emes, and then at the end of Ma'ase Bereishis, right, we have Vayichu Hashemayim V'Yisrael B'chol Tzevah, which is the end, like we say in Kiddush Friday night, the end of all 6 days of creation, when it describes Shabbos, it ends off that in 6 days, in 7 days, Bara Elokim La'asos, Hashem created the world. Asher Bara Elokim La'asos. Again, the last letter of Bara is Aleph, the last letter of Elokim is Mem, the last letter of La'asos is Sof. Emes, Hashem signs his name at the beginning of creation and the end of creation. Emes is the signature of Hashem. What does that mean? What's the value of that? Why is that true? The Gemara in Sanhedrin describes a place called Kushta, which means truth in Aramaic. And at this place, Kushta, nobody ever died. It sounds like truth is a very, very powerful source of life. There's a place of Kushta where everyone told the truth, nobody ever lied, and nobody ever died. And just as a companion to that Gemara, the Maharal says that the word Emes, when you say something is true, it has to be 100% true. And this, you know, you can imagine, like, this is an interesting thing. 99% true is not 99% true, it's false. Only 100% true is true. If it's 99% true, then it's not true. See, he says, take away one, take away the Aleph from Emes, and you have Mes, dead. Which is really, comes off this Gemara, that in the place that they only spoke the truth, they never died. But if you take even a little aleph away from emes, the Maral says this. Maral, the Nesifa emes, Berek aleph. Take away the little aleph from emes, makes death. What is it? What is it about emes that brings life? It's a good midah. It's nice. It's important. But what's the life-giving quality of truth? And the opposite of falsehood. The pasuk says in Mishlei, there are many psukim in Mishlei about this, but one of the strongest psukim, Tayavas Hashem. Hashem is revolted. It's disgusting to Hashem. Sifsei Sheker, lips of falsehood. To Tayeva. Now we understand that Arayas is called a Tayeva. Immorality is a Tayeva. Telling a lie is a Tayeva? Like, relax. What's the Tayeva? Tayavas Hashem. Like, Hashem is like, repulsed from it. Sifsei Sheker, lips of falsehood. So there's a Rabbeinu Yaina. We talked about this a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. I'm just going to go through it a little bit more carefully. Now, then we spoke about it in context with a lot of other things. I want to focus in on it now. Rabbeinu Yaina says like this. In his levels of falsehood, the seventh level. Seventh level is someone who fools his friend, and he tells them, and this happens all the time. Someone tells his friend, I did you a big favor. Or I said something nice about you, and it never happened. Or I was thinking about you, and you weren't. Because you want to win favor by that person, have the person think you care about them. But it's not really true. Mata es chaveroi ki asa imay toiva oi davar toiv, v'lo yasa. Chazal say that it's what we call gneva's das, stealing someone's mind, stealing someone's intellect, making them think something that's not true, making them think something that's not based on reality. That's gneva's das. And there's an interesting thing. There's a sugya in the Gemara. If you're allowed to steal from a guy. And the maskani, you're not allowed to steal from a guy. But it's a discussion in the Gemara, if you're allowed to steal from a guy. There's no discussion in the Gemara if you're allowed to lie to a guy. Gneva's das of a guy. You're not allowed to. So Rabbi Yehuda points this out. He says, it's an amazing thing. That to actually take money from a guy, there's a discussion in the Gemara about. There's reasons to say you're allowed to, and there's reasons to say that you're not allowed to. But to make a guy think something that's not right, which you think is much less... much less immoral. I'm just lying. I'm not taking anything from him. That you're for sure not allowed to. Also, lignay das abriyas afilu goy. So he says, hine, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, hachet hazeh chomer etel chachmei Yisrael yoyser migezel hagoy. The sin of lying is more serious to our sages than stealing, in certain sense. Why? Ya'an ubi ya'an. This is because ki svas sheker ashma rabba. He's using, coming off that pasuk initially. Svas sheker, lips of falsehood, is a terrible sin. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Why? V'nischayavnu al gidrei ha'emes. We are obligated to keep the laws, the gedarim of emes. Ki hu mi yisaydei ha'nefesh. Because emes is from the foundations of the soul. What does that mean? And not stealing is not from the foundations of the soul? What does that mean that it's the worst thing in the world to lie? Because emes is from the foundations of the soul. In what way is it from the foundation of the soul? What does that mean? Forget about why is it true. What does it mean? It's from the foundations of the soul. So Rav Hutner in Pachad Yitzchak, in Rosh Hashanah, Maimer Tesvav, he said he builds a magnificent edifice from this Rabbeinu Yaina, and he goes on, the next mimer afterwards, he builds on this Rabbeinu Yaina things that, incredible, incredible, beautiful, magnificent structures of thought and hashkafa and incredible. We're just going to take a little bit of it. He says like this. There's a concept which I would love one day to dedicate a share to that. It's a very, very interesting concept. That in English, for example, we have the alphabet, we have the A, B, C, D, and when you combine different letters in different ways, you get words. T-H-E is the, you combine different letters, you get words. But the letters themselves don't represent anything. B, what does that represent? It's nothing. The letters don't represent anything. When you combine them in a certain way, they come to words. The aleph is not that way. Each letter in the aleph, there are gemaras about this and built on this generations of Svarim and so on. Even recently, Svarim put out about the Aleph Beis themselves. Each letter represents concepts. Each word in Lashon Kodesh is an incredible thing. Each word in Lashon Kodesh comes when you mix. This is a table. When you take the concept of Shin, the concept of Lamed, the concept of Ches, and the concept of Nun, and you put them together in this order, that defines a table. We don't understand in most words how. There are Chachamim that are able to break down a word to its letters, explain the component of each letter, and how when they're combined to letter, they represent the thing that they describe. But now we'll just talk about letters. So one of the things in the Aleph Beis, we have Samach Ayin Pei. Ayin and then Pei. Now Ayin Pei are unique in that they both describe also parts of the body. Ayin is the eye, and Pei is the mouth. So there's letters in the alphabet, ayin and then pay. And there's on our body, we have an eye and a mouth, ayin and pay. It's interesting that in Eicha, there are psukim in Eicha that also, there are prakim in Eicha, that every pasuk starts with another letter of the aleph base. The first pasuk starts with Eicha, aleph. The second pasuk is a bays. The third pasuk is a gimel. Except the ayin and the pay are switched around, and the pay comes before the ayin. That's the only change. Why would that be? So the Chazal say like this. Chazal say that ayin coming before pei, in other words, the eye coming before the mouth, that's a description of truth. Because what's truth? I'll say, it's sunny outside. That means I saw that it was sunny, and based on that, I said that it's sunny. If what I said comes after what I saw, it's based on what I saw, it's built on what I saw, that's the truth. So in the order of the Aleph Beis, when Ayin comes before Pei, I'm describing truth. That what I'm saying is based on what I saw. When you switch it around and you put the Pei before the Ayin, then what I'm saying is not based on what I saw. And Ayin doesn't come before it. That's a lie. That's a lie. What I'm saying is not what I saw. What I saw doesn't necessarily have to be what I saw. It means what I experienced. What I'm communicating, let's make just in its abstract terms, what I'm communicating is not what I experienced. That's a lie. So in Eicha, which is describing the Averis of Klal Yisrael, Chazal say this Meramis to the Meraglim, it's describing to different Averis that Yidden did that were lies, but when it's describing lying, it switches the order, and it does pay before Ayin. That what you communicated is not based on the signals that you received, not based on what you saw. That's a lie. So we have to define truth, just so we get down to define truth, is what I'm saying an accurate picture of what I saw? When you have a picture of something, so if the picture is accurate, if the picture is emes, that's if it's an accurate picture of what it's supposed to be a picture of. I once saw a friend of mine, Maharaj Shiva made a shidduch for a friend of mine, to a relative of his. So this boy's sister is an artist. So she has a present for the Rosh Hashiva for making the shidduch. She painted a painting of Rav Utner. Rav Utner is the Maharaj Shiva's father-in-law. So she painted a painting of Rav Utner, a beautiful oil painting on canvas, and to give as a present in a beautiful frame. And they brought it to him at different stages in the painting to see if he, you know, that it should be, that he should like it. That it should be a right picture of it. And at a certain point, there was an expression on his face. He told him to change the expression. And his wife, who was Ravutner's daughter, said he never had that expression. You know, you make a painting of someone, the expression on the face of the painting should be an expression that the person used to have. It can't be an expression. He never had that expression. So, which is very interesting. That means that the painting, if it would be painted that way, it wouldn't be emes, because it would not be a picture of what it's supposed to be a picture of. It would not be an accurate representation of what it's supposed to be a picture of. It's inaccurate. Even in that little thing, in the expression. There's a picture in this world, and it's the most valuable, important picture in the world, and it's the picture that the world is based on, and it's the picture that it's the whole purpose of creation of the world. And that's what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that when the Yidden were by Kriyas Yamsuf, they looked up into Shamayim, and they said, Ze keli va'anveyu. This is my Hashem, and I will be like him. Ani v'hu, the Gemara says, I will be like him. Anveyu, ani v'hu, me and him. This is my Hashem, and I will be like him. And we asked then, what gave them such a interesting idea that they should be like Hashem? You think you should be God? Why should you be like him? And we said then, because man was created in the image of Hashem. Kitzalmenu b'dmuseinu, b'tzelem elikim. Man was created in the image of Hashem. So when they looked up and they saw Hashem on a level that they had never seen before, they noticed that they have midos and capabilities that are similar in a small sense to what Hashem has. And they asked themselves, why would Hashem make me in His image? It must be, He wants me to be like Him. The most important picture in the world is that we're supposed to be a picture of Hashem. A tzelem elikim. An image of Hashem. That's the most important picture, and that is the job of our entire life. Is that over a lifetime to develop ourselves until we're an accurate picture of Hashem. That we're compassionate like Hashem is, and we're truthful like Hashem is, and we're peaceful like Hashem is, and we're careful in judgment like Hashem is, and that we're an accurate picture. When someone looks at us, he sees Hashem. He sees the midas of Hashem. That's the most important picture in the world. It's the picture that the world was based on. That truth. A person's whole life is about truth. It's about making himself an emes, making himself a true picture, a true reflection of his creator. That's the emes, that's the foundation of emes miyaseide hanefesh. Emes is from the fundamental foundations of the soul, because if not for the concept of emes, we would have no job in this world. The whole concept of emes is that we're supposed to be a painting of Hashem. And if the painting is not accurate, that's sheker. And that's not what we were created for. And if the painting is accurate, so then an emes took place, is truth. Now we understand what it means that the seal of Hashem is truth, is emes. The seal of something is what makes it reliable, is what makes it... You can have a contract, if it's not signed, so then the contract's not worth very much. If you have someone's mechayev himself money to someone and it's not signed, it's not worth very much. It's the signature, it's the chasima that gives it its validity, that makes it responsible to do what it says it's going to do. The seal of Hashem is emes. The concept of truth is what's mechayev the world to run the way it's supposed to run. The concept of truth is what makes the whole world run the way it's supposed to. We're supposed to be a reflection of Hashem. If there would be no concept of truth, the whole purpose of the world would spiral out of control. It's the concept of truth that makes the whole world happen. Because now that there's a concept of truth, and I know that I'm supposed to be a picture of Hashem, the concept of truth requires me to be an accurate picture, to be emes. That's why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that someone who lies, it's as if he serves Avodah Zarah. Because somebody who lies, what he's saying is, the concept of truth does not exist. Things don't have to be accurate. If things don't have to be accurate, then I don't have to be an accurate picture of Hashem. And that's in a small sense, it's similar to Avodah Zarah. It's giving up that connection to Hashem. When Adam was created, the first day of creation, if he had not done any Averis, he would have lived forever. That's what Chazal say. He would have lived forever. And the only reason that man dies is because Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, because Adam did that Avera. What does that mean? That means that when Adam was created, he was a perfect image of Hashem. Hashem created him in his image. When something's a perfect image of Hashem, so it stands forever. The perfect image of Hashem, just like Hashem stands forever, anything that's created in a perfect image of Hashem will also be, it's solid, it's strong. What could be more strong than something that's in the image of Hashem? After Adam did the chait, his tzura, his form, meaning his spiritual form, was destroyed a little bit. It was a little bit destroyed. It was pagim, it caused faults. The picture wasn't 100% accurate anymore. Adam was not a 100% accurate picture of Hashem anymore because he had done a sin. And therefore now it's possible for him to die. But that means that if someone could work on himself, that he's a 100% picture of Hashem, that the emes is 100%, he wouldn't have misa. Now, I don't know exactly how we're supposed to understand the stories and the story of Masechta Sanhedrin, that there was a city where people lived forever. Is it a mashal? Is it a Jew? It doesn't really matter. The derech of the maral, it doesn't really matter. And exactly what level that happened or didn't happen doesn't just mean they lived for a very long time. You know, I'm sure that different mafarshim talk about it over there. But the concept that in a city where everyone spoke the truth, nobody died, that's this concept. A city where everyone spoke the truth meant that they understood that emes is a non-waverable, non-shakable midah. Emes has to be 100%. If emes has to be 100%, that's mechayev my entire life. That I have to be emes. What does it mean that I have to be emes? I have to be an accurate picture of Hashem. If the emes is missing a little bit, so then the responsibility to be daimed to Hashem is missing a little bit. It's shaken. So then mace. Emes without the aleph is mace. So what comes out of here, I think this is a very important thing, even though this is maybe a more abstract reason to be machped on telling the truth, but I think this solves a little bit the issue that we brought up in the beginning. When I lie and it hurts someone, I understand why that's bad. When I lie and people are buying products from me because I lied to them, so I understand that it's not moral, it's not right. If people are doing, if people are depending on me because I'm giving off an image that's not accurate, then maybe that's not right. But what's wrong with just lying? Sometimes I like it. I'm the center of attention. I tell good lies. People, I can say that I experienced things that I didn't experience. And, it's nice. It feels good. What's wrong with lying? The answer is that the concept of lying is a problem. Because the concept of lying means that things don't have to, that what is doesn't have to be an accurate representation of what you saw. What you say, what you communicate, does not have to be an accurate representation of what you're describing. That the picture does not have to be an accurate representation of what it's a picture of. I can paint a picture to you, and it doesn't have to be an accurate representation of what I saw. I could say that I went on vacation, and I did such exciting things. That's what I'm representing to you. But the real picture is that I went on vacation, and I slept all day. So what I'm painting a picture to you about is not what the picture is really a picture of. It's not. If I lie and I say that, if I become a person who has that midah of lying, so how that ends up affecting my neshama is that I no longer feel such a responsibility that me, who's a picture of Hashem, should be an accurate description of what I'm a picture of. I'm supposed to be a picture of Hashem. And that means that I'm supposed to be, if Hashem has certain midahs, I'm supposed to be an accurate reflection of those midahs. Now, it's true that when we tell the truth or lie, we're not thinking about this. It's not in our minds at all. And if someone lies, he's not thinking, therefore I don't have to be a tzelem al hakeim. That's the last thing on our mind. Most people don't know this. Don't know this connection. But our neshama knows. Our neshama knows this connection. And there are kaychas, there are strengths, and there's power and creativity and energy inside of us that's affected by the spiritual state of our neshama. And if our neshama, if we're makbid not to lie, that energizes the part of us that wants to be a tzelem elikim. If we value truth, even though that's not what I'm going to go to work tomorrow, and I'm going to make sure to tell the truth, I'm not going to deviate from the truth one bit. I'm not thinking about the tzelem elikim. That doesn't matter. That's not the point. But your neshama thinks about the tzelem elikim. And inside, the forces that motivate us and that give us strength and that are ma'orir us and that bring us closer to Hashem are sensitive to the fact that they're in a truthful person. And a truthful person is more likely to become an accurate tzelem elikim than not a truthful person. It doesn't mean that everyone has to open a pachad yitzchak and understand the depth of Rabbeinu Yoinaki or emes umi yisaydei ha'nefesh. It's enough that we know that it's so. We know that emes is a fundamental foundation of our being close to Hashem, of our being what we're supposed to be. And that should be enough to inspire us to make sure that midah of emes permeates and fills us completely, that there's no sheker inside of us. And it could be a tremendous help to us. Sometimes people have a hard time bringing out the kaychas to become closer to Hashem. People have a hard time doing that. I imagine that someone who focuses on being careful, being meticulous, that his words are an accurate reflection of what he's describing, that what he says is true, he's going to bring out and he's going to focus and draw out of himself the energy to be a tzelem elikim in a much more undiluted way, in a much more focused way. I was thinking about this concept of tzelem elikim. People spend millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars, going to therapists and reading self-help books and so on and so forth, trying to find what our society around us calls the real me. Trying to find the real me. Who am I? The search for myself, and so on. And there's value to that. There is value to trying to, for a person trying to understand himself. But I think it's the first level that's important for us to know, you know, who am I? I am a Tzelem Elokim. On the inside, stripping away all the distractions and all the things that have hurt me along the way, you know, hurt my focus, all the things that have led me off course, all the other influences that have influenced me, on the core of my being, I was created in the image of Hashem. Why is that important for me to know? It's important for me to know because the reason why people search for themselves is because they have a feeling, and they're right, that if I'll truly find myself, then I'll be at peace. If I could truly connect with the real me, quote-unquote, then I'll have menucha, then I'll be at peace. And it's important for a yid to know that the real me is when you mahu racham, afato racham, when we can incorporate the midas of Hashem into our life, then we're becoming the real me. Because the real me is that I was created in the image of Hashem. And if a person wants to attain real menucha, serenity, and focus in his life, it's by bringing out the depth of his neshama, bringing that out to the surface, allowing that to break the surface, being an accurate Tzelem Elokim, emes, being an accurate picture of Hashem. It's easier said than done, but at least it should be the goal. At least it should be what we think about. The real me is when I'll have all the midas that Hashem has, when I have the value system, the arachim, when I have the value system that Hashem has, the priorities that Hashem has. Revolba says that someone who values, let's say, his good name or money or other things, values them more than, let's say, Dvar Mishav Kedusha, you know, than things of holiness or spirituality, he says it's a certain sense of Avodah Zarah. Having a distorted value system, it's a lack of Tzelem Elokim. It's a lack of being similar to Hashem. Hashem has a value system, and we were created in His image. We have to work on ourselves that our value system should be a reflection of Hashem's value system. So yesterday I was looking around a little bit on the pasuk of Midrash Sheker Tirchuk. They bring down that there were different gedolim that used to work for years on the midah of emes. It wasn't like, you know, they sat down one Sunday morning and decided, okay, that's it, from now on, emes. They worked for years. There were gedolim that worked for 7 years, for 10 years, for 14 years, working on eradicating all remnants of sheker from within themselves. Our lives sometimes are full of sheker, and it's a lifelong work. To become emes, and it's something to work on. I think even when there's not such big stakes, maybe dafka when there's not such big stakes, just when we're talking, we should just say the truth. Say the truth. You know, I could go shopping for my wife, and she asks me to get something, and I come back without it. It's so easy to say they ran out. It's so much easier than I forgot. It's so much easier. It doesn't hurt that much to say I forgot. It's just we get used to this. Like, what's the big deal? It doesn't hurt anyone. What's the big deal? But there's something valuable about focusing on the truth. I just want to end off about another truth. And this is really a whole topic on itself, but it also is related to the concept of Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. All the lying that we do to other people does not come close to the lying that we do to ourselves. The person that we lie to the most is ourselves. And we lie in two directions. We lie to ourselves by denying our milas, our good points. We don't allow ourselves to realize the good things about us. And we lie to ourselves about our chesrenes, about our bad midas. We lie about our bad midas because we don't want to. It's hard to come to terms. Let's say this. I am a liar. I lie. Oh, I'm not really a liar, I'm just under difficulty. We lie to ourselves about whether we're a liar or not. Because it's hard to come to terms with our chesrenes. It's hard to look them in the face. It's hard to look in the mirror. We lie to ourselves about our milas because we don't want to have to deal with the responsibility that comes along with it. I have the quality, let's say, to make people happy. Oh no, that means I better go make people happy. I don't have to deal with that. Nah, I can't really make people happy. I have leadership qualities. Oh, that means I have to be a leader. I forget, I don't really have leadership qualities. I'm really a follower. We lie to ourselves to avoid the responsibility of living up to our strong points. Because our strong points are their compliments to us. but they're also responsibilities. A person has a responsibility to live up to his strong points. Hashem gave them to him for a reason. And it's a very dangerous thing, this lying to ourselves. It's a very dangerous thing. Because people make decisions based on the lies that they lie to themselves. So someone will be offered a certain position or deciding if he should do a certain thing. Should I institute such and such a thing in my family, in my business, in my yeshiva, should I institute this? Should I do this? I don't really have leadership qualities. But you do have leadership qualities. You're just lying to yourself. And so on and so forth. I'm not really on that madriga. You are on the madriga. We lie to ourselves. We lie to try to avoid. Or should I work on such and such a thing? No, I don't really have such a big problem with it. Yes, you do. We lie to ourselves and we make decisions based on the lies that we tell ourselves. And this is one of the greatest challenges of life. Midvar Sheker Tirchuk doesn't just mean in what you tell somebody else. Midvar Sheker Tirchuk means in how you look at yourself. What Rav Dessler calls Mabat HaEmes. The vision, the gaze of truth. That's also Midvar Sheker Tirchuk. And that's an avodah for a person to take a realistic, fearless, courageous look at himself. If a person is just discovering faults, he's not being honest with himself either. It's not just an interesting thing to know. If a person says, I'm going to look at myself honestly, wow, I'm just a lowlife. If that happens, then you're not looking at yourself honestly. Because every yid is blessed with tremendous milas also. If you don't see milas, it's still not honest. You have to be able to look at yourself and then see, oh, I have these issues. Oh, and look what Hashem gave me to work on these issues. I have these milas. What? There's a balance here. I was given kalim, I was given tools, and I was given problems. And the tools will help me fix the problems. If a person can look at himself that way, then he's getting closer to the truth. Because that is the truth. And each person has to fill in the blanks. What are the tools, and what are the problems? Some people have a problem in a certain area. Let's say, let me think of an example. Some people have a problem, let's say that they're easily distracted away from their avodas Hashem. Some people are easily distracted, they're not so focused. But that same person might be a person who's also easily inspired. So the problem maybe could be fixed with the tool. The problem is I'm easily distracted. The tool is I'm easily inspired. So therefore, I'll institute, I'll learn what's their 5 minutes every day in the morning, or I'll make sure to keep in touch with people that inspire me. I'll use the good point that I have, that I'm easily inspired, I'm easily brought up, to counteract, to have an antidote for the problem that I'm easily distracted. And I'll make sure that I don't get distracted. Just giving an example. When a person looks at himself fearlessly, courageously, a person will see the map. And that's the first step towards the real MS of bringing out the Tzelem Elokim that's inside.